Kia ora and welcome to Emirates Podcast, episode 260. Today is Friday, July 29, 2011. This is the last Friday in July, and that means that next week is my busy work week. However, I am optimistic that I'll get in a Friday podcast at the very least, perhaps more. I will expect to be recording a Two Political next week, and also something else that I'll talk about later on. Ooh, foreshadowing. It's been a busy time, when is it not? But today was an unusual one, and I called this episode Two Dog Day. You've heard of Three Dog Night. Well, this is a Two Dog Day, because I took both dogs to the vet at the same time for the first time ever. Now, the last time that either of them, well, I've never taken Sunny to the vet before, but the last time I took Jake was several months ago. It actually wasn't all that long after Sunny came to live with us, because she had fleas, and he got the fleas, and he's really quite sensitive to them. And he started chewing himself and all that, so I had to take him to the doctor, and they gave him pills and things. And he got better, and that was all fine. Well, about 10 days ago or so, we noticed he was doing it again, so I gave him a bath with his special medicated shampoo left over from last time, and that helped. And then a few days later, he started again. We did another inspection of him and found out he had fleas. And then I realized that I was about 10 days late with their flea treatment, so I did that. And then he still wasn't getting over it fast enough, so I took him to the vet today. But because they haven't been separated really for months, and I was a bit worried about how Sunny would react being in the house by herself, and Nigel suggested that I take her as well and leave her in the car, and I thought, I can't do that. That's not going to work. She'd go spare if she saw me leaving with Jake and leaving her behind. So I rang up the vet this morning and asked if there's any chance that they could see her as well. Right after Jake, and they said, well, sure. And she's not due for her jabs for another few months. But I thought, well, she hasn't been there before. Let's give her a chance to kind of get used to it. And warning, graphic detail coming up. The Cavoodle breed, which I think this comes from the Spaniel side, they have anal glands that become full and have to be emptied. And I don't just mean going for a poop. I mean, I don't know exactly. I don't really understand the details. And quite frankly, I don't want to. But every 6-8 months or so, the vet has to clean them out. And Sunny's were apparently quite full. Yeah. Anyway, so I took them both, and she's in good shape. She apparently has a bit of a loose kneecap on one of her hind legs. And they said that it doesn't seem to be too bad, and the worst that could probably happen is she might develop arthritis in that leg in the future. But for now, she's fine. And she's in good health. Her weight's good. And Jake's basically fine, too. But he, of course, has the skin problem that we have to get sorted. And so that's why I ended up taking both of them at the same time. And as it happens, they both rode in the back seat. Now, Jake has always ridden in the front seat. But on the way over there, they were both in the back seat. And at one point, I thought to myself that it was the best that Jake has ever been in the car with me. Because when Nigel and I are with them, Jake usually sits in my lap the whole way. And I know that's naughty and all sorts of things, but that's the way Jake likes it. And what Jake wants, Jake gets. And so they both sat in the back seat, and they were both very well behaved. And they were well behaved there, too, except I had to wait because apparently there was a doggy that had some sort of health problem or accident or something. They were dealing with this emergency situation before our doggies. I was very sad because the lady left and she was crying. And so I don't know if that meant that they lost the dog or if it just was really sick or injured or what the story was. But, we had to wait for a while. And then I smelled this smell and I thought, oh, one of the dogs farted. And I looked down and nope, it was a productive source. And so I had to clean that up. Fortunately, I had a little plastic bag in my pocket, just coincidentally. And so I was able to clean that up. Although I'm sure they're quite used to that at the vet. And but apart from that, they were quite good. We got outside after we were all done, and they both had a wee before getting back in the car, so that was really good. And then we headed home. On the way, I did make them wait in the car for a little bit. I popped into a store to get a high-definition webcam for my computer because my current computer doesn't have a webcam. I used to have one on my iMac. It's built in the iMac. But I don't have one on my current Mac because it's a tower, and it doesn't have one. So I bought one, and it's not just for talking online. It's also so that I can make some videos because I've made one, I think, where I'm sitting at the computer talking to it. And, oh, that's sunny, speak of the devil. And I'd like to do some more of that, but I don't have a webcam. So, and also I used to video chat with my sister over Skype, and I obviously need a camera to do that. So I want to get that all sorted. So we'll see if that works. I haven't installed it yet. And then today is just a normal, I don't know, normal Friday day where I do my chores, I run errands, I clean the house, all that sort of stuff. In the course, getting in preparation for next week, which will, of course, be my busy week. So that sort of brings you up to date on everything that's going on with me. Well, most things, anyway. But the thing I was alluding to earlier was that we are getting to the business end of the build-up for this year's Pride 48. And as I mentioned a long, long time ago, it's going to be held in Las Vegas. And in order to prep for that, I'm going to start doing the State of the Station live shows again. It's just about Pride 48, so don't get excited. It's not about me or any of my topics or anything. It's just about that. They're weekly updates. And I expect to start that about a week from now, the end of the first week of August, and start to bring some updates out there. But those details are yet to be firmed up, so you might want to check my site, or you might want to check my Audio Boost. Actually, you can subscribe to the Audio Boost stream for Pride 48. That's the hashtag, or the tag rather, Pride 48. Actually, I'll put instructions on my site about how to do that, because there's a lot of interesting podcasts. Some of them are basically podcasts, mini podcasts, but there's a lot of really interesting people who are now doing these audio booths and releasing them through the Pride 48 stream. I'm just going to my iTunes so I can give you some examples. There's Timmy Sims, there's GB Atlanta, there's Brother Sinatus, Seder 69, Veritable Virgo. Who else do I see here? Those are the main ones who are doing it these days. Of course, I've done a few, very few, but I've done some. Moose P has done one that I can see here scrolling back. Miss Misery, which is Nessa from Hello Nessa podcast, and others. But it's kind of a whole bunch of different podcasts, mini podcasts all together in the same stream. So it's really kind of interesting. And the maximum for an audio is exactly 5 minutes. So it's 5 minutes or less. And so it's much less commitment than a full podcast, and which is one of the reasons why so many people like doing them, because they're like podcasts, only much shorter, obviously. It's only 5 minutes. It's even shorter than Big Fatty does. But yeah, so it's definitely worth checking out. And as I said, I will try to remember to put instructions on my site for how to subscribe to the Pride 48 Audio Boos so you can hear them yourself. I also, of course, am on Audio Boo as Amarins. Oh, I know, shocking. But and you can subscribe to that by itself. You would use the tag Amarins for that one. And I should put the instructions for that on the site as well. Oh, it's getting complicated. So, yes, we're getting going with that, and you'll be hearing more about that in the weeks ahead on this podcast as well. They'll talk about that, and also, if you want to follow my Twitter stream, there'll probably be information about that. Pride 48 is on Twitter as well, just at Pride 48. So do check that out. Now, there is some stuff in the news, and I'm not going to do a full election update because it's really, well, I should do an election update thing, but I can't be bothered. I just want to record this one and post it. I don't want to edit it. I don't want to add anything. So since I don't have any messages, telephonic or written, I thought I might as well just go ahead and try to get this done. And of course, in the time it took me to explain that, I could have played the theme song. But anyway, there's a new poll out. And this one is from Fairfax, which is New Zealand's largest newspaper publishing company. And it basically is not good reading for the Labour Party. It says that National has 56% support among voters, which means that it would have more than enough seats to govern alone without any coalition partner, which is always a bad thing, because if a party can govern alone, it can do whatever it wants and it doesn't have to moderate its stance on anything. So anyway, but Labour is on 29%, and that could very well be, it could hit its worst ever result under MMP, which was 1996, when it got 28.19% of the vote. But because that was an unusual year, and I really should talk about that particular year sometime, because that was the first year under MMP, first election rather under MMP. It was widely believed by voters that that Labour was going to form the next government, and a lot of people voted for a party called New Zealand First, thinking that they were going to make a coalition partner for Labour. And what ended up happening is that New Zealand First ended up going with the National Party and keeping the National Party in government. And the results were terrible for New Zealand First because they virtually disappeared in the 1999 elections, which Labour did win, clearly. And they formed a coalition with the now defunct Alliance, but that's a whole other story. Actually, maybe what I should do is an episode just where I just talk about the governments we've had since MMP, which coincidentally correspond to the governments that have been elected while I've lived in New Zealand, because my time in New Zealand is pretty much the same as MMP. Anyway, what that means is that, you know, in a 62-seat parliament, the National Party would have a majority of all of the seats, and the other parties combined wouldn't have as much as Labour. As National. And that's what they're talking about. And that's a problem because it means that National is guaranteed a 3-year term, that no matter what happens, nobody can bring the government down, no matter what they do. The only thing that could happen is that the National Party caucus could decide to replace John Key. Although my personal belief is that no matter what happens with the election, John Key will not be prime minister in 3 years' time, that he will leave partway through because he's bored. His childhood ambition was to be prime minister. Well, he's done that. Now what? He is, for some reason, hugely popular with voters. About 53% prefer him as the prime minister. And there's only a tiny percentage who want Phil Goff, who's the leader of the Labour Party. And there's absolutely no reason why this should be the case. I mean, all he does is grin and make goofy smiles and things, and he doesn't really say much. But I think he is National's secret weapon. I think he is the reason they are so popular. Because if you look at the party issues, the political issues that the polls ask about, without exception, all of the results favor the Labour Party and not National. If you look at people's position on the sale of state-owned assets, it's Labour's position. If you look at them on things like cost of living, on immigration, on hospitals and education, on law and order, on environment, on pretty much any issue you could name, the voting public is more or less aligned with Labour, much more so than it is National. And yet National is far ahead in the polls. This makes no sense. And so the most logical explanation I can think of is the personal popularity of John Key as prime minister. And whether or not this ends up amounting to an unprecedented landslide for National, I don't know. But it's not looking good for Labour in that poll. And the polls are all over the place. But even the most optimistic at this stage show the National Party within a seat or two seats of having an absolute majority. We are many weeks away from the elections. The elections aren't until November, and anything can happen between now and then. Now, last time I talked a bit about Epsom and strategic voting, and people's eyes probably glazed over when I was doing that. So I'm going to cut this really short. I've had a slight change of heart since then. The problem is I talked about how the Neoconservative ACT Party was probably going to get 3 or 4, maybe 5 MPs in Parliament because they're going to get this one guy elected, and how stupid that was. Well, that's what I've had a change of thought about. The reason this is all the case is because of the 5% threshold. A party, in order to get in Parliament, has to win 5% of the party vote or win an electorate. If they win an electorate, all of their party votes count, even if they didn't get 5%. And that's ACT Party has benefited from that all along. Now, there is no logical reason to have that 5% threshold. It doesn't do anything. All it does is it keeps small parties out, potentially, and it means that all of those voters are disenfranchised. So, and you could be talking maybe potentially up to 100,000 voters. Their votes would be wasted, completely wasted. If, however, they eliminated the threshold altogether, then all of the party votes would count. You would still have to obviously have enough party votes for one whole person. You can't have a partial person, like just send their arm in or something. So a person would have to get something like 0.83 or 0.84% of the party vote in order to correspond to an MP. And I think that that's the right and fair thing to do. It does mean that parties that I would not like have the potential for having a seat in Parliament. But here's the thing. Here's my intellectual and emotional feeling about that. Regardless of whether or not I support a particular party or a particular point of view, if enough other people do, They have the right to be heard in Parliament, to be represented in Parliament, to have their views represented in Parliament. And that is what proportional representation is supposed to do. It's not supposed to be proportional to the parties as such. It's supposed to be proportional to the needs and desires of the people. And I think the best way to do that would be to abolish the 5% threshold altogether and allow all of the party votes to count. Essentially, all votes would count if that were to happen. Now, that's not going to happen in this election, obviously. And so then that leaves me with this dilemma. As a center-left voter, I want ACT out of Parliament. In a perfect world, I would like to see a strong centrist, it would have to be a centrist rather than left, party come along and challenge them on their really wacky ideas and some of their, quite frankly, insane policies, and marginalize them so much that they wouldn't win any elections. But the system right now is set up so that that National was encouraged to do this deal with ACT to get their four or five whatever ACT MPs into Parliament through the system. That's the way the system is. We're not going to be able to change that for this election. So even though I think it is in some ways immoral to strategically vote to get ACT out of Parliament because you're essentially disenfranchising all of those ACT party supporters, I think that it would be mad for center-left voters not to try. It would be mad for National not to do this deal with ACT in Epsom to get all those MPs in. They would be crazy not to do it with the system the way it is. But precisely because the system is the way it is, I think center-left voters would be mad not to do what they can to keep ACT out and then work for changing MMP after the referendum, assuming it wins, to abolish the threshold altogether. That's sort of the compromise position I've arrived at. It's not what I said on my blog the other day, so I have to do an updated post. I actually have a tentative title of Third Thoughts on Epsom, because the last one was kind of like Second Thought. But I just think that the system is what it is, and we have to deal with it the way it is, even as we try to make it perfect down the road. So my feeling is we should abolish the 5% threshold altogether, but this time, because we can't do that, this time center-left voters in Epsom should vote for the National Party candidate in an attempt to deny ACT those seats in Parliament, because, like I said, we'd be mad not to. So that's everything I'm going to say about the elections. I can't be bothered saying anything more. No, it's I'm actually lying a bit. There's really nothing else to talk about. MPs always say and do silly things, and it's quite frankly not news when they do. There was a bit of news, though. There was an article that I actually saw it on Yahoo News, of all things, that the headline was New Zealand goldfish survive 134 days without food. And it was about these two goldfish in a tank in some, I think it was an accounting firm or something, in Christchurch. And they abandoned the building when the earthquake hit, and they weren't able to get back in, and the fish were left by themselves. And here's the story about these plucky goldfish that survived 134 days. Except when you read the article further and you find out there was something like six or eight of them originally and there's two survivors, that tells you what probably happened to the rest of them and how these goldfish managed to survive. So it's not quite the feel-good story that the headline makes it sound like, but nevertheless, it was sort of a little bit interesting. Now, I'm going to do something I've never done before on this podcast. I'm going to go to the New Zealand Herald main page, front page, whatever, and just see if there's any news items that I want to mention while I'm recording. This is a never-before-attempted thing. And just skimming the front page, no, there's nothing of any interest to me. So that means I can't talk about it because it would be boring. And although there's one thing I wanted to update from the news from last time, I talked about the dollar and how strong it was. And the dollar has been at or above, I think mostly above, 87 U.S. cents for pretty much the whole week. And there's no indication that it's going to go any further, particularly with the ongoing debt crisis in the U.S. And I also mentioned that the Reserve Bank was probably going to raise interest rates in September. They announced yesterday that they weren't raising them now, and the kind of warning that they may do in September. So for the time being... So for the time being, the interest rates are the same as they were, 2.5%, and it will be September at the earliest before they're raised. But they're hinting broadly that that's exactly what will happen in September. Now, That is all of the stuff I wanted to cover today. This Sunday, New Zealand time, Saturday, U.S. time, I will be joining Nigel on the Third Colony on farpointradio.com. And that is at 9 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday in the Americas, or 1 p.m. Sunday here in New Zealand. Do join us if you can. There's a chat room there at farpointradio.com. Farpoint Radio is one word, of course. Farpointradio.com. And check us out. And you can visit the site anytime. You can just kind of listen in. There's a few shows that are starting to go. They're all music shows. They're not chat shows, at least not at this stage, like Pride 48 is. So I will be doing that. And other than that, I probably won't be back until midweek at the earliest next week, depending on how my work week goes. That is it for today. That's it for this week. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I'll talk to you next week. I gotta go see what the dogs are barking at. Bye.
You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amrens Podcast at amrenspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrenspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.